Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's good to have everybody.
Oh, that's right. It is good to have everybody on a Tuesday night. How about it, Jeremy? You with us?
What's up, Scott? I'm here.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what a great weekend we had with the PBR, brother. I am loving it, and kind of sad that they're gone here out of Fort Worth, man.
Hey, has Fort Worth got calmed back down yet, or? Is it still pretty party atmosphere going on, or did y'all get it settled back down?
Man, it's always a party here in Fort Worth, my friend. But let me tell you, it has settled down compared to this weekend. Man, what a wild one we had. I'm telling you, we had guys come out of the woodworks, win world championships. We had UBF bullfights going on, man. It was off the chain.
Hey, the Stockyards are always rocking, but the last two weekends, without a doubt, that is to me, man, besides, you know, whenever the NFR came to Texas that one time, that's like a new high for the Fort Worth Stockyards because, man, getting the PBR finals there again, kind of giving everybody a reason to get to those Stockyards and, man, make it about Cowboys again, making it, you know, all about the PBR, kind of get back to the roots. So, yeah, it was awesome to see it there. And like you said, man, completely – the World Finals completely took a turn for, you know, a turn that nobody saw coming. And, you know, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But, golly, man, just a cool deal. I'm jealous. I wish I'd have got to be there. But the bullfights were great. Hey, the bull riding was outstanding. It was a
good weekend
in Fort Worth.
No doubt, man. So I got to ask you, though, what were you up to this weekend? How much trouble did you get into?
Man, my weekend – this is going to take a minute, man. You just opened up a can of worms right here. So evidently, in Alabama, we can't rodeo if it rains, I guess, you know. So I had a bull ride Saturday night, and it rained on Thursday, and we got canceled. So I was with nothing to do. So I said, man, I don't have an event to go to. So I called one of my good buddies, Dusty Myers, who is a man, one of the most outstanding barrel men in the country, entertainer.
Man, I haven't talked to Dusty in forever, man. You tell him old Scott Making Eight says hello when you see him again.
Well, hey, we talked about you. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I'm sure it was nothing good.
But I called him and I was telling him that. I said, man, we got canceled. I said, man, they canceled my bull riding. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, nothing. It was going to rain Saturday again. I said, I guess I'm stuck at home. He said, let's get in the truck. He said, I got to go to Salem, Illinois. He said, let's go. He said, it's only on Saturday. He said, let's make a road trip. And I said, you don't have to ask me twice. So, man,
that's
I jumped
right.
in the truck with Dusty, and we went to Evansville, Indiana on Friday night. One of our good friends, Porkchop. Do you know Porkchop?
Yes, sir. I do know Porkchop.
Clown in Evansville, and another guy that, man, I take a lot of influence from, Jeff Lee. Jeff was announcing that deal. It was a big rafter rodeo right there at Evansville, just across Kentucky line. So Dusty said, let's go hang out with everybody. Let's just go make a trip out of it. So we went to Evansville Friday night. We stayed there, spent the night, then got up Saturday morning. We drove over to Salem, and it was Trevor Williford and his wife. It's Whippoorwill Rodeo. They're right there from Central Illinois. Just man, a great, great family. And another one of my great friends, Austin Williams. He's from right there around Sykeston, Missouri. But he was announcing that deal, so we hung out with him. Dusty clowned it. It was very different having to just sit around and watch a rodeo, but man, it was still a great weekend. So plans made a little change, but man, me and Dusty, when you can go hang out with your buddies, it's still a good time. So. Great, great weekend.
How could you not have a good weekend with Dusty Myers, man? I haven't hung out with him or Porkchop in some time, so I know what it's like.
Well,
those remind me of the old IPRA days, my friend.
That's it, man. I'll tell you one thing. If you hang out with Dusty now, you know you're going to eat good. I'll say that for him. You're going to eat good, and you're going to eat plenty. So, you know, I didn't go hungry on the trip. I'll give him that. He took care of me. Man, he was one of the first guys when I started fighting bulls that he was clowning. He was working for – I was working for Southern Rodeo Company, Mr. Robin Brooks from Rockmart, Georgia. Dusty was clowning, and gosh, that's been like probably 12 years ago. And he had just quit fighting bulls there not long before that and went full-time clowning. But I don't know, man. They're just those guys that you instantly kind of connect with and you become good friends with them. And he has always been
that
guy. He was always a phone call away, and we could always, you know, he was always giving advice and stuff. And then the last few years, man, we just got close. We got a group of friends that there's five or six of us that, man, we give each other a hard time. But he's kind of the dad of the group. He's one that you can always go to for advice. He's been in this game and this industry for so long that, man, I respect him so, so much. But, man, just went from being a buddy and a guy you worked with a lot of rodeos to, man, almost just being – I mean, he's one of your best friends in the world. Man, I'm so thankful for him. But we get to go and hang out on the road. We travel together a pretty good bit because we live pretty close together, and he'll pick me up.
Okay.
We go together to some of these rodeos. Actually, we'll go together this weekend. We've got one this weekend together. So, give him a hard time, but he can take it, and it is so fun to give him a hard time and pick on him a little bit. But no better guy in the world, man. I don't know if you watched him lately, Scott, but, man, he's become one of the best entertainers in the country. Like, he does an outstanding job.
He really is, man. I'll tell you, there's a lot of top barrel man out there, and we actually had one down here for the UBF bullfights, and that was Brinson James, man. So you talk about lights out. You talk about some fun, entertaining crowds. Brinson James tore it up out there, man, this weekend. Had a blast with him, and his dad actually showed up out here to watch him. And we got to talk with them and visit with them, man. It was a great time. Great time for everybody out here. And the fans loved it, man. They got up close with Brinson and just had a fun time, man.
Brinson is one of those guys that I don't care if you take him to – you can take him to a bullfight, you can take him to a rodeo, or you can take him to, a PBR bull riding or amateur bull riding. He fits every area of rodeo. It doesn't matter. What event he goes to. You know, some guys are more traditional, a bull riding entertainer. You know, they are more of the cheerleader type, how Flynn is. And then you have those guys who are old school rodeo clowns, and they fit a rodeo better. Some guys don't fit a bullfight because you need them to be, you don't need acts. You just need high energy, and you need somebody getting the hands clapping and stuff like that. But Brinson fits the whole mold, man. You can take him from a rodeo to a bull riding to a bullfight. And the crowd, I've never been anywhere that a crowd didn't love Brinson.
That's right.
I know me and you talked about it. I started years ago getting to work a few events with Brinson. He had just gotten away from helping his dad, and his dad worked the world finals for the PBR one year. When it first started, Hollywood Harris, he worked the PBR world finals, was a great barrel man himself, but Brinson kind of separate from that and create his own name. And, man, has he created a name. We've watched him do American. We've watched him do the Calgary Stampede. And that guy's been all over. And, man, it wouldn't shock me if as many velocities and many PBRs we see him. We've watched him do a few when Flint had to step out. That's a guy that easily one day we could watch him, we could watch him on the big screen right there at all the PBRs. So.
That's
going to be a decision they have to make, but there's a few guys in the running. But you said it best, Brinson. He's right there in Fort Worth doing the UBF bullfight. The UBF loves having him, but man, he might be a hot commodity here in a few months. So
yeah, you're right about that, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we actually had an opportunity to catch up with Brinson on Friday night, man. What do you say we go down and take a listen to what he had to say?
Man, I didn't know you did an interview with him. That'd be great. Yeah, let's play that, and let's hear what Brinson had to say.
Here we go, man. Hang on. Hey, guys. We're down here covering the UBF finals and able to catch up with one of the most entertaining guys that you're going to find down here in an arena, and that's Brenson James. Brenson, what's it like for you to be here in Fort Worth, Texas, covering these Fort Worth UBF fights?
It is so awesome. You know, the biggest thing about my job is you got to be a fan of the sport. So I'm a huge fan of rodeo. I'm a huge fan of bull riding. And to be out there in the arena, who isn't a fan of freestyle bullfighting? So tonight is the, I do believe, $50,000 to the winner of the ultimate bullfighting at the Cowtown Coliseum. And yeah, I'm the hype man, and I'm sitting right there on the edge of the fence, getting everybody to scream and clap and try to get these bullfighters to do some, you know, incredible stuff. We know DeKevis Jordan does front flips over top of these bulls. So anything that this crowd can do to help out, that's my job here to do. It's just trying to get those people to scream as loud as they can.
And you do a great job at that, man. We really enjoy watching you out here over the years. You progressed from Boogerhead to Brenson James, and you've been doing this for so long, man. How long have you been doing this?
Yeah, so I'm second generation. I'm a little Boogerhead. I was a little Boogerhead rodeo clown with my dad, who is Hollywood Harris, been doing it for 35 years now. He was a PBR World finalist, Calgary Stampede, Cheyenne. He's done all the big ones, and I started with him when I was 2 years old. So I'm 29 now. For about probably the first 18 years when I was really working underneath my dad, I didn't have a microphone. We did all types of acts and comedy acts and stuff like that together. But when I was turned 18, the PBR called and asked me to go on to Canada to work some bull ridings up there. And that's when I just really, you know, it was the first time I ever had the chance to kind of pull away from the father and son team. Was very afraid, had no idea if it was going to work or not, but it did. And it started working out more and more. The PBR started really looking into me. And then now partnerships with the PBR is the ultimate bullfighters, and I am so glad that they came back and putting more events here in Texas because, yeah, it's by far the most high-energy event that I ever get to be a part of is those ultimate bullfights. It's fun.
Absolutely, man. Well, we look forward to seeing you out in the arena again tonight. I know you've got some great acts, and you're going to energize the crowd, man. We're going to have fun with it in Fort Worth, Texas on a Saturday night.
100%, and guess what? This for the my favorite friend is making his debut back in the arena, Re-Ride the Wonder Dog. Super, does all types of killer tricks. So, yeah, he's my right-hand man. We're ready to storm the stage tonight and, yeah, have a great show. And thank you so much for coming to hang out with us.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having us, and we look forward to seeing you tonight, buddy.
Let's do it.
There you go, man. What do you think? Old Brenson James is loving, living life, man. He is living his best life right now. And, couldn't be more proud of him, and seeing him at the UBF bullfights, he was so entertaining. Crowd just loves him, man. They're just drawn to him. Not to mention, he's a pretty good-looking kid.
Hey, that's the dude that no matter what you do, wherever you go with Brenson, you're going to have a good time. That guy is one of a kind, and thank God it's only one of him. But, yeah, man, like, they love him. You can't help but love him. I don't know where you go with him, but somebody you could ever find anybody that doesn't like Brenson. But yeah, man,
I know
living his best life. Hey, look, I don't know if you've noticed. You saw his bus conversion he's been doing.
The what? Oh yes,
the bus conversion.
He is, matter of fact, he had to drive to Louisiana yesterday and just got back in town yesterday morning just so he could get working on that bus some more.
Oh, it's so cool. He bought a school bus, and he's going to convert it into
a
travel trailer, you know. But that is –
that's right.
There's nobody else that fits that other than Brenson. And to see Brenson pull up in a school bus, man, that'll be so cool. But
right.
Yeah, just one of the kind guy that watched him at St. Pete all those years in Canada, one of the largest IPRAs up there. And then, like he said, he kind of got that start with PBR Canada. And the Canadians love him. I don't know what it is, but, man, they just –
oh,
they
ate
him up. He's been all over. But, yeah, so happy for him, man. So happy to see him doing good. And when he's at the UBF, he takes those bullfights to a different level because that guy right there.
Oh, he does.
I don't know if you – did you see the other day where he jumped the bull off his barrel?
Yes. So, listen, man, I got to tell you. So, the first weekend down here, they did not have any entertainers out there. And I'm going to tell you, man, it was disappointing compared to what they had this past weekend. when they brought in Brinson for Friday and Saturday night, you talk about electric crowd was on fire all night long. And they were cheering on the Bullfighters, and they were cheering on Brinson. Man, it was just so entertaining to be out there. It was – the energy there was – you could tell a difference based on him yeah. being there.
And that's a true statement, man. Like, you take a guy like Brinson, they can take those bullfights to a different level because the crowd loves the bullfights. Don't get me wrong. When they watch bullfights, they're loving it. They're eating them up. Those guys are making good bullfights. The crowd stays in it. But
that's right.
You need a high atmosphere. You need – when those guys get ready to call for a bull, they need that crowd already right there in their pocket. They need that crowd ready to go because – You know,
no
man,
doubt.
Rolf always said it best. Rolf talked about it. Like, winning a bullfight, it was like the gladiator days. If you win the crowd,
right.
you win the bullfight. If they're
yes,
sitting
sir.
On their hands and you're having to beg them to get into it, you know, bullfighting's not like bull riding. Bull riders get in the shoot. They don't pay attention to the crowd. They go to work, pull their rope. They nod. They do their deal. Bullfights, man, when you walk out there, like, the crowd makes it better for you. If you can get them
that's
going
right.
get their hands clapping, and they're loud, and that crowd's on top of you, it's such a cool feeling to know that, like, man, they're behind me. And that was the big thing that Rolf always had at Salinas. It was like when they called for Rolf Hill and Sweet Home Alabama played, and he hit that bandana, and he played air guitar. He had
uh-huh.
that crowd rocking. And that was
That's
just,
right.
man, it just makes for such a better bullfight. It makes them so much more fun to watch. And a guy like
yep.
Brinson – when you got a hype man like that, they keep that crowd that level for every guy. Every guy has a chance to have that crowd in their pocket. The UBF,
you're
right.
watch
them, they use Brinson a lot. I just talked about Porkchop. Porkchop did Swainsboro with me a few weeks ago. He does a great
okay.
job. But there's also another guy from Georgia they use, Colt 45. Colt Hart's his name.
Uh-huh.
Colt does a great job. He's a lot like Brinson, high energy. Man, just love to get that crowd on their feet. So those three guys right there, to me, they're kind of the top three for what I would consider could be in the running for, man, entertainers for any kind of bullfight. Man, they do a great job. If they hire those guys for them, there's no doubt. Either Colt 45, Brinson, Porkchop, those are guys that can keep a crowd going. And for me as an announcer at those deals, they make it easy on you also because, man, you don't
Definitely.
Have to work hard. I get to just
That's
call
right.
a name and say, hey, man, right here, you know, hey, Knox Dunn, Slaughter, Louisiana, go. And they're keeping that crowd. I just get to talk about bullfighting. That's what makes it so fun. So,
That's
man,
right.
Yeah, Brinson,
well,
like, I'm so happy to see him doing good. While we're on that subject, though, we're talking about entertainers. PBR, they celebrated that 30th anniversary this weekend. And for 30 years, there has not been many different entertainers at the PBR level because for what, 25 years of that, I mean, there's been one guy that's been the premier entertainer, and that was the man from Montana, but that's Flint Rasmussen. And
that's
he
right.
set the bar. He has set the bar for what entertainers, you know, he was a PRCA barrel man, and he converted over to the bull riding, and when he did, he stayed kind of true to those roots for a few years with the baggies and all that. And then the PBR kind of changed him, and they made him the elite entertainer. They quit calling him the barrel man. He became the entertainer, and he revolutionized what we consider a barrel man and a funny man. He turned it into
That's
strictly
right.
an entertainer.
That's
to
it.
To me, as far as entertainers, there will never be another Flint. Like, that dude,
no.
he figured it out.
You can't replace him. You can't replace him. And
yeah.
And the PBR doesn't want to replace him. What they want to
no,
do is they want to continue to make entertainment possible at their events. And they're going to do that by picking the right person to fill that gap. You know what I mean? It won't be
oh,
a Flint
yeah.
Rasmussen, you know, because you just can't get somebody to fill those shoes. You just can't.
Well, it's like when Tom Brady retired. You know, Tom Brady can retire from football. We'll still have him on the sideline, and we'll still put the camera on him. Hey, there's Tom Brady. But you can never replace him. It's always going to be.
That's right.
We're always going to talk about him, and, man, hey, look how great he is. And that new quarterback, he might come in and win a Super Bowl also, but there will always be he's not Tom Brady. And
That's
I almost
right.
feel sorry. Not, I don't feel sorry because whoever gets this job, man, they've got one of the coolest jobs in the world. But there
Absolutely.
Is so much pressure on the guy that has to step into that arena and take over Flint's shoes, if that makes sense.
That's right.
But
yes, sir.
But, I mean, that is, you know, who would turn that down? You know what I mean? When they call and
right.
say, hey, are you interested? Like, to me, there's three names. Obviously, Brinson James. Like, Brinson has done enough. Matt Merritt. Matt has been right there at the velocity level. He's done a ton of stuff for all these years.
Yes, sir.
But Matt kind of went back to rodeo also. Matt kind of went back to his roots of rodeo. He's been doing a lot of rodeos
yep.
lately.
Yeah, he
Matt
was here
Hart
in Fort Worth.
Done a few. And, yeah, that I mean, yeah, he clowned the Fort Worth rodeo. Yeah, no doubt. Like, Matt
That's
has
right.
done a lot of stuff. And I guess those opportunities came back for him to do some rodeo stuff, and he took advantage of it. So that, to me, though, that's
yeah.
the three guys that, when it comes down to it, I believe one of those three names is who we'll see replace Flint. But I don't know that there will be one man right now. I think you might see them kind of rotate some guys, maybe logistically on where they're at in the country, on who they might use. But
right.
I think they're going to kind of – my opinion, I think they might go about a year of using different guys until they make that
Maybe
big
right.
announcement of, hey, A, B, or C, here's who we're picking. This is going to be the new
That's right. You may be right. You may be right on that. We'll just have to sit back and wait and see, man. But, golly, what an awesome weekend. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, we were talking about these bullfighters, though, and selling the crowd. And I got to tell you, man, there were two bullfighters, especially out on Friday night. Now, Noah Krebs ended up sliding in that last spot that was open for that deal. And watching him turn those bulls, man, that guy earned every bit of those points he got. I believe he was somewhere around 88 points, but we had an opportunity to catch up with him, man. What do you say we go down and listen to what Noah Krebs had saying and coming into the final round?
Go ahead.
All right, man, here we go. Hang on. Noah Krebs.
Hey, guys, I am down here with one of the UBF bullfighters, Noah Krebs. Noah, man, you got Drew back tonight to compete for the finals tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And you scored 88 points. You saw the other guys come out in front of you, man. What was it about you that kind of amped you up, get you ready for that ride or that fight?
Really, you just kind of get amped up every time, you know. It's not very often that you're lucky enough to be Drew back on such a big bullfight like this. So, one, I really wanted to capitalize on the opportunity. And, two, you know, I kind of been struggling a little bit, battling my head. Just not really up to par and kind of dropping the ball on myself. And so tonight I really felt like I needed to go out there and prove to myself that I still got it in me to get after it.
Walk us through that bullfight, man. When that bull came out, you knew you had to make some big moves because you already had it. I believe it was like an 84, 84 and a half point score. You knew you had to get some good points, right?
Yes, sir, I did. And, you know, I watched him and we're all brothers here, so obviously I was cheering everybody on. But to be honest with you, I really didn't put much thought into what everybody else had done. You know, I just really wanted to put on a good, solid bull of fight and kind of show out a little bit. And so jumping him right out of the gates, how I like to start it and get myself a little bit of extra ump. And we went ahead and did that and then made the rest happen after.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, 88 points, that was a good fight. We look forward to seeing you in the finals tomorrow night, man. You excited about it?
I'm pumped up. I'm beyond excited. There's a lot of money up for grabs and going against the best in the world, so you can't beat that.
What's it like being down here in Fort Worth, man?
I love Fort Worth. We spent so much time here, and, you know, with the PBRs and then UBS. This has kind of been home away from home for us for quite a while, so I love it, you know.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, good luck to you tomorrow night in the fights.
Appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, there you go, man. Noah, good kid, and, man, he really turned out a great 88-point fight on Friday night.
Man, that makes me happy to hear. Noah's a great dude. I've been around Noah for, man, quite a few years. He fights a lot of Klein Hall's rodeos, the guy that I work for there, Generations Pro Rodeo. He does a lot
okay.
with a buddy of mine, Jimmy Essery. And so, man, always
uh-huh.
I've known Noah, kept up with him. And, man, we've actually been at some of the same stuff over the years. And just the other day at Swainsboro, we actually stayed together. So, cool
nice.
Deal to see him get back. he struggled bad at Tuscumbia for the Ross Hill Invitational. And, man, like he admitted it right there in his interview talking about letting his head get to him. He drew
yep.
a nasty sucker from Chad Ellison at Tuscumbia. This bull was tough. Not taking anything away from that bull. But, you know, Noah just kind of admitted to me after. He said, man, I got behind and I couldn't ever get back, you know, couldn't get back to where I needed to be. And, man,
right.
he had a terrible bullfight. There's no way to sugarcoat it, no way to say it any other way. he knows that. And
right.
then he went on to Swainsboro. Swainsboro was pretty solid. He, you know, he had a good fight, but he didn't advance. And you could just see
right.
that. You know, bullfighting is momentum. You know, it's building off each bullfight. And he was like, man,
mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, I'm supposed to be winning. Why am I not winning? And I told him, I said, man, just shake it off. Like, you know, clear it, go back to basics, just go to the next one. So, man, that
right.
makes me so happy. A great guy. Noah's one of the good dudes also. You can't help but love him. Guy, he's funny, like such a funny dude. And to see him get that last spot, you know, make it into that championship on Saturday, great, great news for Noah right there. We watched him win a couple of years
yeah.
ago. He won Bulls of the West. Like, man, he's made some great, great bullfights. Just got to keep that momentum rolling. You just got to stay hot. And, you know, hopefully he keeps the ball going, wins some more stuff. So, great deal for
well,
the reps.
I'm going to throw a spoiler out. Fortunately, he did not advance to the Final Four and make it to the short round on Saturday. But I'm going to tell you who did, and that was Chance Mormon, man. Chance looked great. He was on fire. And, man, I'm telling you what, you talk about some bullfights. I wish, unfortunately, we don't have the interview downloaded now, but we might by next week. And I'd love to air the interview with Chance. He was so excited, man, won the big payout. But, man, so much talent down there in the arena at the UBF bullfights. Another guy that we were able to catch up with on Friday night was Air Jordan. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, DeKevin.
Yes, sir. Well, we had a chance to catch up with him and talk with him a little bit. That guy was jumping bulls all night long. Even during the bull games, this guy was jumping bulls and entertaining the crowd. So let's take a listen to what he had to say.
All right.
Hey, guys, we're down here at the UBF Bullfights with DeKevis Jordan, or Air Jordan, more or less. Man, you were jumping bulls tonight during those bull games. What do you think about it, man?
Man, it was a lot of fun. We feed off the crowd. It's a friendly competition and whatnot, and we're all bullfighters, and it's like the A-team tonight, so it gets pretty serious.
Yeah, it does. So you guys ended up pulling it off, didn't you? The red team won?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think a little bit had to do with some of those jumps you were making out there in the arena, man. Now, you're actually competing for the some money tomorrow night. Is that right?
It's a real deal tomorrow night. It's all seriousness. You know, it's $100,000 on the line, I believe. And, you know, that first place guy's going to get $30,000. That's what I'm going to talk about because that's what I plan on being.
Well, listen, man, we're going to be down here tomorrow night watching these UBF bullfights. Hopefully we'll end up seeing you at the end of the night. We'll be able to talk to you again. What do you think?
Yes, sir. That'll work, brother, and we'll have a better conversation then.
There you go, man. Appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what. You talk about another upstanding guy. That DeKev Jordan, that kid, he's a good guy.
Hey, man, DeKev is super cool. Knox Dunn travels with him. They're like, man, they are two and that you don't need together because them two right there when they're fighting bulls, that's a deadly combination. But yeah, DeKevin,
that's right.
Gosh, we always talk about, man, there's not many bad guys in the bullfighting world. Like they're all personality wise, they're all so
that's
energetic,
right.
They're all so fun, man. They're just full of life. And
yes, sir.
You know, it just makes it so fun to watch them. And DeKevis, actually, man, he grew up around rodeo. He a lot of guys don't know that. They think that, you know, he just kind of all of a sudden found it. But outstanding football player, great athlete. You just look at him and tell he's an athlete.
That's right.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Talking about Air Jordan, it's for a reason because he is not scared to jump one. He goes to every bull. So.
Yeah, he does.
So,
he
so
sure
cool
does.
To watch.
You know who else is jumping bulls? So check this out, man. Wednesday night, we had the Dirty 30 anniversary party, right? So,
yeah.
Of course, you got Larry the Cable Guy there. You got Ryan Bingham headlining it, man. The music was great. The entertainment was great. Being able to shake hands and hang out with so many great guys over the on Wednesday night, the legends of the sport were all there, and everybody was just mingling, right? So they had bullfights at Billy Bob's, and they were doing a display. They played the bull games. So they had two teams set up, and they were going in and doing it. It's a small arena. But you know who else was jumping bulls? I saw Cody Webster in a pair of jeans come out there and jump his bulls, man. I was so impressed. That guy.
Man.
Yeah, if you weren't there, you missed out.
I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see Cody. Cody's still having fun jumping in there. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize it because with all the success he's had in the PBR and the PRCA working in NFR, you know, he stepped away from going to the freestyle because –
That's right.
And I get it. It's a business decision. You've got that many rodeos. You got that many, you know, PBRs to fight. You don't want
to
get –
You can't afford to get hurt.
Not about getting hurt, but it's a business decision. You've got all this responsibility. You don't really have
That's
time
right.
to go to those bullfights no more. But, man, them kids better be glad that Cody Webster's busy because – I mean, I know we had him on here, and he talked about his early years and how he loved it. But that dude, hey, Chance and them's good, Knox and them are good. They're all great. But Cody Webster, trust me, he can still put it on one today. So
no
the boys better be glad that he's busy because he's leaving them a lot of money that they can make because he's not there taking it from them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. 100%. I agree with you because if that guy could be in the arena with them freestyle bullfights, he'd be turning it up. And those guys would have a lot more pressure on him. But you talk about a fantastic job. Cody Webster, Nathan Harp, all those guys that were there at the PBR, they had their work cut out for them this weekend, man. Those Cowboys are beat up, and they were hanging up. The hang-ups, I was so, man, I couldn't get over it, but the guys were refusing to let go. And so they were hanging up being dragged around that arena. And the bullfighters just stepped in and kept them safe, man. They really had their work cut out for them.
Well, you know, the PBR, there was $1 million on the line for the year-end champion. $300,000 was going to go to the event champion. Each round, just the round winners pay $35,000 a night. So
that's right.
When those guys tie their hand in, every time they're at a PBR, they can make great money. But that World Finals, it's just like the National Finals Rodeo. When those guys get there and there's that kind of money on the line every night, you're going to watch them. They're not going to safety up. They're not going to check out. They're going to give 100%. And we talked about it last week. I know we hadn't really covered it tonight, but the bull caliber at the finals this year, man, it was almost too much. You know, the bulls,
man.
We really couldn't get enough road like we normally do.
You're not lying.
That's nothing against the bull riders. It's the fact that the bull power has gotten that intense. But, yeah, Webster, Bryce Redo, Nathan Harp, Lucas, man, they had their work cut out because those guys were not going to let go. But at the end of the day, that shows you why those guys get voted into those finals. That shows you why those
right.
bull riders vote for them four guys because they feel like when they're in the arena that they can't be touched, you know. So, yeah, congrats to Webster, all of them, because it was a great final. They had their work cut out for them, and they earned their money.
They did.
But, man.
Well, you talk about that bull power, man. Thursday night they had three qualified rides, and they were all high 80s because the bull power was there, man. It was just there. And you were left in awe watching those bulls buck.
And, you know, on Thursday night, that was the lowest number of rides they'd ever recorded at the PBR finals. And to
that's
me,
right.
that's disappointing because
it is.
I'm not trying to be the spoiler here, but the fans don't pay for a ticket to watch bulls buck. They pay for a ticket to watch riders ride. You know, that logo
no, you're
on
right.
PBR says professional bull riders. It doesn't
right.
say professional bull buckers. So,
yeah, sir.
I'm all for the fact that we do have the best bulls in the world. You know, we're bucking some great, outstanding bulls. But, man, for that finals, like, you don't want to ever say take it down a notch. But, like, make it about them riders, man. Bring them some spinners. Bring them some good bulls that they can love to get on. Because I know you saw it, too, but by Sunday – man, you could just see those guys. Like, man, they're all beat up. They're hurting.
Exhausted. Yep.
It makes seven bulls, and all seven are, and they're 45-point bulls. You know?
Come Sunday, when they were doing the intros, there were more guys limping out there than they were walking.
Yep.
I mean, really. That's
and
how
that
beat up those guys
good
are.
Product. And I love the PBR, and the PBR has always been, to me, that's the ultimate level of bull riding. Nothing can touch the PBR. But
right.
So the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, when they take those top 15 guys, they give them three or four pins of bulls that are the spinner pins, that are the
right.
The pin that we buck 15, we should ride 10. We should ride 12.
Right.
You know, and the PBR almost needs that. They've gotten so big on, I don't know, if you got a list of contractors for the PBR finals, if we had, mm-hmm. let's just say if we had 100 bulls there for the finals, there was probably 70 different contractors because everybody
right.
gets to bring one or two bulls. And they're bringing that
yep.
best bull, that best bull. You know, you don't have it like it used to be where David Bailey brought 15 or 20 and Sammy Andrews brought bulls and, you know, Terry Williams brought bulls like how it was in the old days. Now it's become such a finesse that each bull has 10 different owners. You know, D&H Cattle owns him with five different partners. You know, Blake
right.
Sharp owns him with five different partners. And these guys have that advantage. They do have the money. They have the money that they can buy these bulls, and they can go in there and let a guy like Blake Sharp find these great bulls, and D&H Cattle raise these great bulls. And nothing
yeah.
against it, man. It's so cool that the bulls have gotten to that level, but they're almost unrideable, you know. And it's nothing
yeah.
on the guys. The guys are putting out the effort. It's just, man, when you watch these bulls buck, it's incredible that an animal athlete, can move like that. So,
sure,
you know, more all props
well,
to them. I tell you what, I would hate to know right now on Monday morning and today, you know, 3 days post-finals, how those guys are feeling, because there's a lot of guys on the tour for a week.
That's true, man. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we talk about the bull power. The bull power was outstanding throughout the finals, like we said, but one bull stood out above the rest, and it came down to, really the battle was between three bulls, and that was Legend, Riding Solo, and what was the last one? I had it on the list right here, man, and I just lost it.
Oh, it should have been Cool Whip. Cool Whip kind of fell out
cool
of
Whip.
There at the end. But,
yes.
Yeah,
cool
Riding
Whip
Solo,
dropped,
Legend.
And I was really,
Solo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool Whip didn't have a good out. I don't know what happened to him at the finals, but he didn't have the drifts. Yeah, and that bull, that Legend.
But I'll tell you who
sharp,
did, though, man. Riding Solo really had a great out throughout the entire finals. That was who I was
yeah.
impressed with, because that bull has struggled throughout the season, and to see him turn around and come back out the way he did in Fort Worth, that bull was lit up, man. And I don't know it. I don't know if Cord McCoy is feeding him something different or what the deal was, but that bull came out lights out, and he was ready to buck, and he put on a good show, man. So we actually had an opportunity to check up with Cord McCoy, who ended up having the bull of the year and Riding Solo, man. What do you say we go down and listen to what he had to say?
Yeah, it was so cool to see Cord get that win. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear what he had to say. So let's go ahead and play that, too.
You betcha.
So we're down here with the world champion bucking bull owner, Riding Solo, Cord McCoy, for the second year in a row. Solo has done it for you, man.
Yeah, you know, it's such an awesome bull. I think he's got so much talent, and I think the biggest thing, just a big heart that, you know, he leaves it all out on the field every time. So we feel like just, you know, it's his manager just to give him every opportunity to win. Man, never gets old, I guess, and you feel like if you don't hit the road and give him the opportunity, you're not doing the job. And, you know, to watch him day in and day out, put in 100%, man, it makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I'll tell you what, to see the smile on your face, I know that you're just so proud of him. And, you know, he's had an up-and-down season, but this year, you know, coming here to Fort Worth, he was lights out. He really had a good performance here in Fort Worth.
Yeah, you know, with the way it's set up, you know, you bring your best eight out in, and then you buck three times at the PBR World Finals and keep your best two. Man, Solo, he came with it on his mind, you know, putting up 46s. The first performance, and then, you know, not even 5 days later, do a 46.5. I think, you know, he had winning on his mind, so glad to flank him.
Are we going to see him next season?
Oh, yeah. No, I think Solo, he's got fresh legs, and he loves to travel. You know, he sees the trailer backed up, you know, he'll start pacing and wanting to get on it. So I don't think he's ready to stay home yet.
There you go. Well, you heard it straight from Corbin McCoy. We'll be seeing Solo again next season. Man, congratulations again. We look forward to seeing him out there again.
Heck yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, it was pretty exciting to be able to talk to Cord. And if you could see the smile on his face, just absolutely proud of that bull. And he should be because, I mean, Ryan Solo really had some great outs here in Fort Worth. He may have struggled during the season, but he came to it, man. He brought his A game down here where it was all business in Fort Worth.
Hey, he was smiling because that wallet got a lot fatter.
That too, yes, sir. You're right about that. I know. He's gonna put a big old steak on the table after that one, man. That was a good deal.
Yeah, that's the second. Make sure I'm right, but that's the second time Solo's won Bull of the Year, correct?
Back to back, man. He won it last year as well.
Yeah,
yes,
so he won Bull of the
definitely.
Finals. Won Bull of the Finals, and then the Yeti. I think Yeti sponsors that deal now, but they call it the PBR Bug Bull of the Year, the Yeti Bull of the Year, whatever. But
right,
that's a big check for 20 or 30,000 for Bull of the Finals, and then what is it, 100,000 for Bucking Bull of the Year? So, man, and Cord and them,
right.
They put some money in the bank on that trip. So great deal for Riding Solo, great deal for Cord McCoy, right there for that PBR Bucking Bull of the Year. So cool thing to watch. We watched Blake Sharp be Stock Contractor of the Year, and then Riding Solo Bull of the Year. So that is pretty much a wrap on the Bulls of the PBR for 2023 World Finals.
Yeah, they're going to be rested up too. They'll be ready to go again come Cheyenne, though. You can bet they'll be there.
Hey, they'll – I guarantee you, we're not seeing them on the PBR, but they'll give them a few weeks off, and then they'll be sneaking them bulls into some rodeos here and there, get outs on them. So don't be surprised
if
you don't see them buck before Cheyenne. But just like the
guys,
you know, as soon as they get healed up before the team series kicks back off, you know, you kind of expect to see some of those guys going to the rodeos and taking advantage of that run, that summer run that, you know, it's always been hard for guys to do both as far as the PRCA and the PBR, but the way the years stack up now, they can kind of do both. So it'll be interesting to see this summer the guys that don't hit the team series, what they do. So kind of makes rodeos
I'm really excited to see that. We got a couple pro rodeos coming up right around Fort Worth. We've got Weatherford, you know, Parker County, Posse Day, PRCA Rodeo. So we got some big shows coming up around here, man. I'm curious to see who's going to pop up, stick around, you know, try to get some of that money.
Yeah, Evansville, Indiana, Friday night, Shane Proctor was there. You know, a guy that we watched for all those years in the PBR, great, great bull
That's
rider.
Right.
He kind of stepped away, and he goes to the PRCAs now, but he was entered in the bronc riding on Friday night, and it was entered in the bull riding on Saturday. He was there with his wife. She does specialty acts. She's a kind of a trick rider and does some stuff with her horse there. Super cool to watch that deal. But, yeah, he was making a weekend of it. We watched him win the world in the PRCA and the bull riding and always had a great career in the PBR. So it's cool to see if those guys will convert, see if they go back and forth this summer. That PRCA leaderboard, I don't know if you've watched it much, but Kai Hamilton, the Australian, he's leading it right now, currently beating Stetson Wright. Josh Frost sitting third. Man, the PRCA has got some great, great bull riders. Sage Kimsey snuck back in there. Two guys from Florida, but, man, one that's a crowd favorite, Ernie Corson. So Ernbob is
Ernie Corson.
Right up here knows him. man, Ernie's sitting, I think, ninth in the world. He's either eighth or ninth.
That's right.
And Ernie's having a great year. It would be so cool to see Ernie make it to the NFR, see him get to be on those bucking shoots, do a backflip right there in the Thomas and Mack. God, that'd be cool. But
I know
he's a Florida guy. And then Cullen Teffler. Cullen's from Florida. So we got two Florida guys in there. Be interesting to see how it shakes out, because that rodeo world, you know, we just talked about the PBR, but, man, the PRCA and the rodeos, it is about to be wide open from the months of June, July, August. Those guys are going to go so hard to those rodeos. So the standings, you never know how they'll end up, but right now that's some of my favorites. And, you know, I love the rodeo world. So it's so fun to talk about the PBR, but at the same time, I don't ever want to forget about, you know, the PRCA and what those guys are doing.
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. And we've got more to get down onto, because we've got several weeks where, like, I'm not going to any, you know, there's no PBR. So we're going to be talking a lot of PRCA shows, man. We're going to be talking about what's happening with those guys. And shoot, yeah, man, it's great to talk rodeo. It's great to talk PBR. I love it all. So, you know, I just like Brinson said, man, I'm a fan, you know, and you have to be a fan to be able to entertain the way he does. So, you know, for us to be able to sit up here and talk about it, you got to be a fan. And that is definitely what I'm about.
Yeah. And man, we had so many great rodeos this week just here. In Tennessee, you had Clarksville going on, Murfreesboro right there, Franklin Rodeo was going on, Evansville, Indiana. So those guys could hit multiple rodeos. Just great time to be a cowboy and great time to be going up and down the road. So big shout out. One of my good friends, man, Cody Reinhart, guy from Mississippi, from Rienzi, Mississippi. He won the bronc riding right there at Franklin, made him a 2-time champion of the Franklin Rodeo.
Nice.
He's kind of moving up those standings in the PRCA. Kind of wanted to give him a little shout right there, because he is a great guy and a great bronc rider. So I was proud for
him.
You know, we got the call that he won it, and I was like, heck yeah, man, that's so cool. It's cool to see your buddies win. You know, you feel like everybody in rodeo is your friend because you know people. But when you really see those guys that you have that connection with, that you are buddies, man, that makes it so cool to see them on top. So just wanted to give him a shout out. But hey, Scott, you talked about it, man. We kind of covered the bull of the year. We can go back to the bullfights in just a minute, but real quick, let's talk about how the final shaped up. It's gonna be hard to make this quick, but we talked about who we thought would win it. You know, we talked about can Cooper Davis win? Can Jose Vitor Lemmy, can he win it? All they gotta do is ride one. They get ahead of Kaiki. But, man, at the end of the day, something that we have never witnessed in PBR history before, man, we had the Triple Crown was achieved. That's where a guy wins the Rookie of the Year. He wins the PBR average title and also the world title all in the same year. And that guy was Rafael Jose de Brito. Man, that guy come out of nowhere. He had been in the standings. He was just kind of, you know, creeping in there. But he goes 4-for-8 on the weekend. He came in like 400 and something points behind Kaiki, and at the end of the day on Sunday, he left with $1.3 million in his pocket and a world title. So,
no doubt, man.
To him, it was cool. You know, the final shaped up kind of crazy, but he was the guy at the end of the day that took advantage of it.
He did take advantage of it, and that's exactly what he did, man. He came out and he rode his bulls the way he needed to ride, and he rode, you know, he rode lights out. Put up some big numbers throughout those final rounds. And, you know, when it all came down to it, he came out on top. Now, here's the thing. He just moved to this country. I mean, we're talking just weeks ago, pretty much. I mean, this guy's not been here but a few months. And, you know, he comes out here and he stays with Laramie. And I don't know if you ever met him, man. You talk about a good guy. That guy could bring some bulls. But, you know, having the opportunity to stay at his ranch and work with him, I think developed him for that Rookie of the Year. This guy's 31 coming into the sport, and he was able to accomplish that. And we actually had an opportunity, first off, to talk with Laramie on Saturday night, man. So what did you say? We take a listen to what he had to say about Rafael de Brito.
Go ahead.
So Laramie, you are down here supporting one of the local bull riders, Rafael Jose de Brito. He's actually staying with you, is that correct?
Yes, sir. He lives with us.
And you've been working with him since he's come here to the United States. This guy is in contention for Rookie of the Year. He's leading the overall, correct? And he is just, I mean, literally two bulls away from the potential of winning a world championship.
Yeah, he's been here 14 months roughly, and I don't know, he was here about a month, and he decided he didn't want to live in the apartments anymore, so we told him he could come live with us at the ranch, and it didn't take long. He jumped right in. He started helping us buck bulls, and if he ever went somewhere and he got bucked off and needed some practice, he'd come home, and we'd get on practice bulls, and we'd work out the kinks and try to make sure he is back on his game before he left to go somewhere else the next weekend.
Are you giving him any advice or coaching him through tomorrow?
No, he rides way better than I ever did. I'm more or less helping him with his mental focus. He gets a little bit down on himself, and to keep him positive and make sure he knows how good he is, that we just make sure he gets on bulls that can boost his confidence usually.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for catching up with us, man. And you've got a big bull out tomorrow, correct? Or Woolpaw?
Well, Woolpaw, he's retired. They're going to do something for him. We do have an up-and-coming 4-year-old out in the short round called Top Dollar. So hopefully.
Okay. We look forward to seeing him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. You talk about surrounding yourself with successful people. And, you know, Laramie's like that coach. You know, he's like a coach for a team, but he's really only focused on the ones that are right there with him, and was able to coach Rafael Jose de Brito, man. And I'm telling you, I think it's paid off dividends for him.
Yeah, no doubt. And he said it best, man. You just got that opportunity to kind of mentor those guys. Give them a guy they can trust. When those guys come over here from Brazil, you know that's got to be tough on them, man. They're so far from home, and, you know, they kind of have to, even though with the contingency of the Brazilians that are here, you know they have to feel kind of out of place. And for a guy who is an American who is on the bull side of things, to take those guys in and say, hey, man, you come stay with us, we'll take care of you, that's a cool story. And when he raised the bull, Laramie did raise that bull, Woolpaw. Man, that was the bull that we watched all of them go 96. Man, they broke so many records
on
Woolpaw. So he has obviously a great breeding program, great set of bulls, and so cool to see it. Like we said, man, PBR is a big family. They all take care of each other. So congratulations. That is our world champion for 2023. You said it, Rafael Jose de Brito. 4-for-8 on the weekend. Man, some of them guys we talk about wanting to see do good, it's not that they let us down. It was just the bulls were so good.
That's right.
One guy that I was impressed with, and I know we're going to make it quick because we're running short, but Josh Frost, man. Josh Frost, the guy that we watched on the rodeo trail for the last few years.
Uh-huh.
This year we see him come and actually won the Velocity Championship. So he won the title of the Velocity. But he come in, he won round 7. And then turned around and was the only guy to ride in the short round. So on Sunday,
yes, sir.
Man, he kind of cleaned house on Sunday. I think he was like, I know he went 90. He might have been 90, 90 and a half, something like that on that round 7 bull. Great bull ride for Josh Frost. Cool story there, man. That's just such a rodeo family. It goes back all the way to the Great Lane Frost. So cool to see that name on top of the leaderboard. And then the highest mark score that we did see of the whole finals, Andrew Alvarez, he was 91.5. So, you know, we didn't see those big, huge, flashy scores at the finals this year. We didn't see the 93, 94-point bull rides we're used to seeing. But 91.5, still solid, solid score. So congratulations to all of our PBR World Finals and all the guys we watch get buckles and all the big checks. But you were right there in it. You were a part of it. You had a great time. I wish I could have been with
we
you.
Did.
But, man, 2024, I plan on being there with you. So you might as well make room
for
it.
That's right, man. We'll be side by side sitting up there and working there. And, of course, we're going to be at AT&T Stadium for the final weekend of the PBR Finals.
Yeah.
They just announced that. So
that's
you know
be
what,
cool.
though? We may be running short on time. Before we do, though, man, I did get an interview with Rafael Jose de Brito. Now, of course, his English is not so good. So So we did end up having to have a translator there, which was Paulo Krember translated for us, man. But what do you say we go down and you actually hear what Rafael Jose de Brito had to say about his win after winning those paychecks?
Yeah, let's hear that, and then we can finish with those bullfights, who won the titles there, and then, man, that'll close us out. So go ahead and play that interview.
Yes, sir. We'll wrap it up with that. Here's Rafael Jose de Brito, your world champion PBR bull rider.
Rafael, you came to the world finals knowing that this is your first year and you were going to compete for rookie of the year. Did you have thoughts that you could be the world champion?
Você veio esse ano pensando, sabendo que você estava competindo o rookie seu, era o seu primeiro ano, mas você tinha pensamento de ser campeão mundial?
Não, eu tinha um sonho de ser campeão mundial, ser campeão do Rookie of the Year, e eu entreguei nas mãos de Deus e foi da vontade dele.
I had a dream to be a Rookie of the Year champ and also a world champ, and I just gave it to God's hand and he did his job.
How did you feel waking up this morning and getting ready and prepared for the two bulls you had today?
Como você acordou hoje de manhã e veio para cá, se preparou sabendo os dois bulls que você tinha hoje?
Ah, eu estava bem focado, bem concentrado e fui para cima deles.
I was focused, concentrate, just come to ride.
And now that you are the world champion, what is next for you? Are you going to take some time off and enjoy it, or are you going to get right back on bulls?
Agora que você é campeão mundial, você vai fazer o quê? Você vai tirar um tempo, dar uma descansada, ou você já vai voltar montando?
Não, vou dar uma descansada agora.
Just get some rest.
Get some rest. Good deal. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I thank you, Scott.
Yeah, so there you go, man. Rafael Jose de Brito, your world champion, says he's going to take a little time off, but I think he can afford to do that.
I don't blame him. The man won $1.3 million. You know, that's life-changing, especially for a guy who's only been here, 18 months? And, you know,
that
point of his life, that's a great deal. From what I've heard, everybody that has been around him said he's a great dude. So
he is.
A few of my friends have been around him at some velocities when he came over, and they all, man, on Facebook, you saw them all put on there. You know, great guy. So cool deal. Glad to see him walk away a champion. That'll be a name, man. He etched his name in the PBR history. And he is going to be one of the ones we talk about for years. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
when
winning rookie. Who comes in? Who comes in is that's right. Yeah, to come in your rookie season and win rookie of the year, and then top it off with being a world champion throughout the weekend. Man, that just says something. It's amazing. The numbers were crazy Sunday trying to figure it all out, but when the dust settled, man, there was one world champion. Yep.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left. We talk about the midnight bullfight, but the UBF, they had the Cowtown right there at the Stockyards Coliseum. They put on some bullfights, and we already talked about it, but the man himself, Chance Mormon, he walked away with that title. That guy is so, so good, so much finesse in those bullfights. But,
that's right.
You know, Chance Mormon, watched him win Swainsboro a few weeks ago. When you put him on the big stage and he has that kind of money on the line, Chance Mormon shows up, won $35,000 winning that title. Coy Kraut, Arizona kid, one I've watched, he's done good lately. He walked away with second place. He won $21,000. And then Tyler Mansell, he was last year's BFO world champion, and he is making a run at the UBF world title. He's come over to the UBF side. Third place paid $10,000. So that was your top three guys. We talked about who all was going to be in there and who could walk away with that title. Chance Mormon, guy that you never bet against, but, yeah, he wins it. Great, great bullfight. The UBF showed up and showed out. So if you were in Fort Worth, you got to see it. We hope to see you at any other of the UBF bullfights because, look, hey, we're just getting started. But it is the UBF freestyle bullfighting world is on fire right now. I'm glad to be a part of it. You're glad to be a part of it. And, hey, the bullfight world to be right now. So you got to experience it. Any closing thoughts on the UBF?
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited what the UBF is doing. I'm excited to be able to be a part of it where we can and to be able to witness some of these athletes get out there and really showcase these bulls is just something fantastic, man. They've got the great stock that's coming up, the breeds, you know, Cody Webster, Chad Ellis, all these guys are bringing great stock. and to watch these bulls come out there with these bullfighters and dance, man, it's amazing. I just love it.
Well, that's it, man. Well, you have we're 8:59 and counting down. So, Scott, I appreciate you. It's been a great show. And if you're joining us, come back and see us next week right here, Making Eight Network, but the Ross Hill Memorial Show. We appreciate it. Amber Blanchard, if you're listening, we appreciate you too. So, Scott, any closing words?
Love you guys. No, that's it, man.
Yeah, see you next week.
That's right.